You know, we had a caller earlier. What the heck was his name? Alan. Alan from Fargo said he was a grower, and he said that the reason that Crystal Sugar is having a whole bunch of sugar in its silos is not because of quality, but because of a glut in the sugar market. I actually had somebody email me or copy and paste me what appears to be a blog that Dave Berg writes or something? Must be. And it in this thing, this is attributed to Dave Berg. It says, it lays out quite clearly that Dave Berg says it's a quality issue. And so this must be what the guy I was talking to this weekend was referring to. And now somebody else has sent it to me. So Alan, I'll respectfully disagree when you say that it's a glut because apparently the CEO of Crystal Sugar has written some sort of missive to the employees or something at Crystal Sugar saying it's a quality issue. That's why there's so much sugar stuck in the silos in Hillsboro. It is time, 4:07 on a Wednesday afternoon, for the 4 o'clock four pack. I think it's Wednesday, right, Pinto?
Guess what day it is, huh? Anybody? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-woo! Mike.
Thank you. Hello, Jergy.
Now, we coined that bit, 3 weeks ago?
About 3 weeks ago, you played it, and I kind of caught on to it
after
a while.
And you never had seen the commercial because you don't own a television.
Well, we own televisions. I just don't watch them.
And now it's been, well, others in this industry locally, I understand, even in fact, a station in our own building has taken that and run with it.
You might have the timeline of it a little mixed up on the station in our own building, but I understand. What somebody, again, I get all these text messages from people out and about. Somebody texted me that another talk station is doing this.
Oh.
It's like, really?
Do they have someone named Mike? Mike?
No.
Mike?
If
there are other talk stations in our market?
Not according to the ratings.
Not according to the last survey.
But no, that's kind of the bit, is that it's...
One didn't show up.
No, not at all.
In the newspaper.
My name is Mike.
Yes, it is.
And that's what makes it kind of funny.
Yeah. Mike.
Yeah.
See him? Mm-hmm. Now it's... my son works for... what's the name of that big cell phone company?
Verizon.
No. Verizon.
Oh, Verizon, yes.
And he's he's really good with phones and all that, and he says, oh, well, let me make that your ringtone.
Yes.
And about 10 minutes later, he handed my phone back and said, I can't do it. I can't figure it out. Do you have that?
Mike.
Is your ringtone?
No, I can't figure out how to do it. I thought he was going to be my go-to guy.
Well, he couldn't do it.
I'll have to go over to Julie over there at CellCom. She can do it.
She can probably do it.
Do the four-pack, the 4 o'clock four-pack, the top four talk show talkers of the day on the Mike McFeely Show.
You were a little rusty being on the boat with Gary Rogers for, a week and a half? Are you up there?
2 days.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't on the boat.
Seemed like a week and a half.
All right. You brought it up.
I'm sorry.
I shouldn't have. You brought up Gary Rogers' name. I need to throw a little kudos out because Gary brought a great group of guys on our KFGO Ballard's fishing trip.
Some from Lisbon.
Yep. Gary was with Herbie Donaldson from Rutland.
Yeah.
Hal Nelson, great guy from Rutland. Joe Holmgren, we call him the silent assassin from Lisbon because
assassin.
No, and here's why. Because
so he was a silencer or what?
Well, no, he sits in the back of the boat and catches the most fish, but you never know it because
he's quiet.
Yeah, he's just quiet. And also, next thing you look, he's got a 19-inch walleye flopping his feet. It's like, Joe, if you move your lips, words come out. You can tell us that you're catching a fish.
And he wasn't chumming with peanuts.
No, he was not. Harvey Dawson from Brampton. You know where Brampton is?
That's a suburb of something.
It is. It's a suburb.
What?
I think it's...
I've heard of
it. It's down in the southeast part of the state. Yeah, I'm not sure where Brampton is.
Down there by the Slauson cutoff.
But Jerry Wojtasik from Rutland, he caught the biggest walleye.
Was anybody left in Rutland?
No. It's the whole town. Shut off the last one to leave. Shut off the lights. Jerry Wojtasik of Rutland caught the biggest walleye of the fishing trip.
And how big was Jerry's?
That was 26 3/4 inches. Now, that's big. It's not as big as we usually catch them on Lake of the Woods, but it's big. But here's the deal. GR had to pay up when Jerry caught the biggest walleye. Now, I don't know if you've seen this phenomenon before. The moths fly. Gary opened up his wallet.
Yes.
The moths come flying out. The spider webs. The dust comes up in the air.
Yes.
We've all seen that when GR opens his wallet.
Yes.
But I saw a new one. When GR handed the bill to Jerry, Never seen this before. Jerry had to pull so hard to rip the bill out of GR's hands that I think that Jerry pulled a ligament in his elbow. And number two, he tore the bill in half.
Wouldn't surprise me at all.
It was unbelievable. I mean, yeah. GR's friends from Lisbon and Brampton are going, okay, now let go. Okay, now let go of the bill. Okay, now just let your thumb and forefinger go apart. And he wouldn't do it. And so poor Jerry tore the bill right in half. It was embarrassing.
It was a dollar.
It was. Yep, it was a $1 bill. Number four on the list today, good news for commuters and travelers in Fargo-Moorhead, Jergy. I-94 construction.
Yes.
Wrapping up.
It is. It might be done this afternoon, certainly by tomorrow morning. Woo-hoo. The crews are putting the final touches on the work there. Started in early June. Kevin Gorder.
Seems longer.
And even Kevin Gorder with the DOT, I spoke with him a short time ago. He said, you know, it does seem longer. But they expected to work into September, but they've had good work conditions. Not a lot of rain. Safety, of course, was a concern given the proximity to many of the workers during the project because traffic is really right up against them. Concrete repair and that road, let's face it, it needed some work. It had been 20 years or so since it had been touched in any major way. Striping. And the old blue pedestrian bridge, they sandblasted that. It's now a lovely highway green, which is kind of a standard color, I guess, that the highway guys use. And so it's green, same color as the what we call the 12th Avenue North Viaduct.
Viaduct. I call it a bridge. I'm not sure why it's a
so
viaduct.
So it should be, by the time Al Amet's out for traffic tomorrow morning, should be smooth sailing.
Well, good.
Now, you never got tied up in that, did you?
No, see, I've lived in Fargo-Moorhead long enough that I know alternate routes, and so I just avoided it because I think that Fargo-Moorhead's still small enough and has enough ways to get around that you don't need to go that way if you live here.
But it's kind of fun, isn't it, just to get kind of caught in a traffic jam in Fargo?
No, it's not, because then they all call this radio station, I'm stuck in traffic, oh my God, I'm going to get there 5 minutes later.
Well,
I never understood the whole outcry about the traffic.
Hopefully, okay? It'll be done in time for school tomorrow, on the first day of school.
I hope so. Oh, my God. It's a quarter-mile traffic jam. Oh! Come on, people. Let's be a little bit bigger than that, shall we?
Mike.
Number three on our list. Sure, Jerry Wojtasek of Rutland, North Dakota, caught a 26¾-inch walleye and pulled a muscle trying to get the bill away from Gary Rogers of our KFGO news team, Southern correspondent. But a gentleman from Germany, Jergy, caught a 513-pound halibut off of Norway. 513-pound halibut. Just for the halibut, he caught it.
Was he chumming with peanuts?
No. He's from Germany. He's probably chumming with beer. Marco Liebenau is his name. It is a world record, believed to be a world record.
I believe that.
Halibut. 513 pounds.
I bet that's worth some money for the industry, right?
Well,
they take these big boats out.
And yeah, he says that he just... He took some of the meat off it. He took some of the fish off it.
Some of the meat?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of meat.
A lot of meat. And then he distributed the rest among anglers and donated some to charity.
Oh, that's nice.
That is nice.
So he didn't sell it to Chicken of the Sea.
I guess I would have. I would have sold it to somebody,
yeah,
right?
Because they have television shows now where they fish for tuna. And if you catch a tuna.
Wait, stop. What was that, Pinto?
Ha! I mean, you watch these.
Good Lord.
Oh, I thought he was going to go something else that dealt with a large. It doesn't matter. I'll tell you off here.
Okay, please.
The moment passed.
They have entire television shows on some of these cable channels where that's all they do. And
yes.
It's fish, and then they catch
what's
a tuna.
What's the one? Were they deep sea fish?
Ah, deep sea fishing.
Yeah,
with
crazy
Lloyd
tuna.
Bridges is in it, isn't he?
Lloyd Bridges.
Jacques Cousteau?
No. But yeah.
But if they catch a tuna, I mean, that's. Or two. I mean, that's big money.
Roughest catch?
No. I don't know.
Most dangerous catch?
Deadliest catch.
Deadliest catch.
Yes.
There you go, Jerry.
And these guys, when they're out there and they're burning their fuel and they're out in the middle of wherever, Nova Scotia, and they're not catching anything. I mean, it's like they're going to be able to pay the mortgage.
It's expensive, brother.
It is.
It's expensive.
So it's exciting when you see that captain with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth and they catch a tuna.
I love that show.
Yeah.
Mad tuna or crazy tuna. Watch it all the time.
Deadliest catch.
Oh, but there's also a tuna show.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of guys from Boston. They're out there catching tuna.
Tuna
off
is
of
us.
The George's Banks.
Isn't it? Tuna is us.
Tuna
isn't
is
that the
hey,
one?
Tuna's us. Know what I mean? Hey, give me that tuna over there. Number two. I don't even know what that was.
I don't know either, but it was pretty good.
That was Whitey Bulger.
Mike.
Listen, buddy. A man in Minnesota is going to lose his driver's license, Jerry. Gary Constance, 59, because he drives too slow.
Safety first.
He drives too slow.
The Court of Appeals said he shouldn't drive that slow.
He told a lower court judge that his Ford Ranger pickup's sweet spot for gas mileage is 48 miles an hour, and that's helped him put over 278,000 miles on his Ford Ranger. In one case, though, police say Constance was going 30 to 45 on a highway with a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. They say he's a danger to other drivers going too slow.
Now, I think Minnesota still has, and maybe North Dakota too, has a minimum speed limit. Remember in the old days when they'd have the speed limit sign
on top.
And then below they'd say minimum.
40.
Yep. But you don't see those anymore. Nope. So how's Gary supposed to know?
I don't know. But I agree, though, that you can go too slow.
You can, because traffic comes up on you. And
really
they,
quickly.
They don't realize that you're going 40 in a 55.
30 to 45.
And so, but the Court of Appeals said, pick it up. That's what they said, didn't they?
A little bit, up. Basically.
But he saved his brakes. He was safety conscious. If he was going slow, then if something jumped out, like a critter, he said,
yep. Mm-hmm.
Jumped in front of him, he'd have time to brake, and he just thought it was common sense. And it's kind of a communist state, isn't that what he said?
You know what he sounds to me like? Kind of a pain in the arse. That's what he sounds to me. He's that kind of guy. He says, quote, it's total communism. There's no freedom anymore. Come on, Gary. Pick it up, all right, buddy? I mean, just pick it up. I agree. I'm all with the court on this one. Number one, Jerky, in a KFGO News exclusive.
We didn't call it that.
I just did.
Oh, okay.
In a KFGO News exclusive, you had an opportunity to talk with Dr. Norberg, who, it sounds, is getting his medical license back with some restrictions on it.
Yes, and he has to interviewed him the other day and with one of his attorneys present in his lawyer's office. And Dr. Norberg, if you may recall, I guess it was about 2 years ago, we first broke the story that he was under investigation, criminal investigation, by Fargo police, and cases eventually sent up for charges to the state's attorney's office for drugging his wife repeatedly with propofol, which is the drug that we used, given to Michael Jackson by Dr. Mm-hmm. Murray, and so we're somewhat familiar with that, the high-profile trial. He was acquitted, found not guilty. We had been in touch with the medical board for the last several months to see what the status of his license was, and talked to the board a number of times, and we're told that no, still suspended, nope. And so one day we called, and they said, well, funny you should call. And so from there, after we got the order, we were in touch with Dr. Norberg, and he agreed to sit down and talk with us and with his attorney present, one of his lawyers, and kind of discuss the last 2 years, going through the criminal proceeding. Then there was a nasty divorce trial mm-hmm. in district court where he was awarded custody of three children, given the house. He has essentially full custody of the children. His ex-wife has visitation rights. So he talked about the ordeal and why he was charged to begin with. He didn't think he should have been. He talked about, if you recall, at one time during a criminal case, he did plead guilty and then thought, you know, I'm not guilty. So he withdrew it and took his chances at trial. And it's been a costly endeavor, legal fees. I asked him how much his fees have cost. He's had at least three attorneys at various stages. He essentially said a lot.
Didn't give you a number.
He did not give me a number. But I appreciate him.
He had some strong words, though, for the Cass County
State's Attorney's Office.
Oh, very. I thought very strong words.
He did.
Yep.
He said that his wife, ex-wife, she has been over the years an expert witness in sexual abuse cases and has had dealings with the state's attorney's office on behalf of victims. And he said that they were very well aware that she had some chemical dependency issues, which was reported during the trial, that she had some other psychological mm-hmm. issues, perhaps, and that they were aware of this. And he thought that they should have done some further investigation into her status before they decided to file criminal charges. He's looking for a job. His license has been returned, but he would have to be under a monitoring program. He would have to have a mentor. He would have to get a job at an approved facility, and any medical facility in the state, I think, would be approved because mm-hmm. they're all monitored and licensed. So he's looking for a job, and so he's hopeful that he will be able to find some employment in the medical community. He's an orthopedic surgeon, mm-hmm. and a good one by all accounts, and he's just hoping that one of the centers here, medical centers, will look at his resume and see what's happened and take a look at it and put him on the staff. So okay. We'll see what happens.
All right. Driggy, great job. The name of the TV program, by the way, is Wicked Tuna.
Wicked.
Wicked Tuna.
Wicked Dude. Can you give me that little...
I'm not sure I can do that again. I'm not sure
come
what
on,
voice
Captain.
That was.
Come on. Here, put a Pal Mal in your mouth, maybe.
Mike.
Appreciate that. Paul Juergens, KFGO News Director of the Mike McFeely Show.